to All the Backlist, a weekly show about books that are not new. I'm your host, Liberty Hardy, and I'm little in the middle, but I've got much backlist. Today is Friday, February 25th, 2022, and for this week's episode, I'm going to talk about a couple of backlist titles I love related to the week's new releases. So hello! It's time for another backlist episode to lead you into what will hopefully be a relaxing weekend where you get to read lots of books. One of my goals this year was to read more backlist, and so far I have not been very successful with that. I'm going to keep trying, but I haven't read a lot, although there are so many amazing books that I already have read that, you know, as soon as a year goes by, they turn into backlist. It's like magic, and I have all these great books to talk about, and I'm going to talk about a couple of them today. Before I do that, I want to remind you, time is running out. Don't forget to check out our new line of bookish Wordle-inspired merchandise. We have mugs, t-shirts, hoodies, and more. It's a temporary campaign, so order your items now before they sell out or go away. Go to bookriot.com/merch to check it out. And before I tell you about today's books, we are going to hear from a sponsor. Okay, so my first pick is based on this amazing novel that has been 10 years in the making. This week, The Swimmers by Julia Otsuka came out. It's a gorgeous, very slim, almost perfect novel. And she wrote two other books over the last 20 years. And her debut was called When the Emperor Was Divine. And I wanted to talk about that one today, which is even shorter than The Swimmers, but just perfect and made such a huge impact when it came out. It's the story of a Japanese-American family forced from their home in Berkeley and sent to live in a Japanese internment camp for 3 years during World War II. Like I said, it's very short, so you get the idea what it's about. It's five chapters, and each is told from a different point of view. It's a novella, really. I still don't understand why sometimes books that are 200 pages are called novels, but sometimes they're called novellas. I really should look into that, but this is definitely more of a novella. It's like 145 pages, and it's just this beautiful, heartbreaking story of an often overlooked part of history told from this point of view, from the people that experienced, you know, losing their homes and being forced into these camps. And this came out in 2002. So 2002, if I can say that correctly. So 9/11, it just happened. Racism and hate crimes, you know, had risen in the country. And it was kind of a reminder that we'd been there with this before, you know, that this country had turned on people. It's just amazing. Otsuka has such a lyrical, terse writing style. She writes like one book every 10 years, and I imagine it's because she just sits there trying to like pick the absolute perfect words because she uses them so sparsely. It's just amazing. I do want to give content warnings for racism, racialized language, violence, and death. This is When the Emperor Was Divine by Julie Otsuka. Also out this week, in a completely different direction, is The Midnight Ride by Ben Mezrich, which is the sort of Da Vinci Code, wild adventure, conspiracy theory, but it's about the Founding Fathers and Paul Revere instead of, you know, over in Italy. It was just the escapism that I needed. And Ben Mezrich is a very prolific author. He has written so many books, like many more than I even realized when I was looking up his work for this show. But my favorite is still Bringing Down the House, which was his first nonfiction. It's the inside story of six MIT students who took Vegas for millions. And it was made into a movie called 21 a few years after it came out. Mezrich is also the author of The Accidental Billionaires, which was turned into Social Network. He's also the author of Sex on the Moon, about the guy that stole moon rocks. He's also written books about woolly mammoths, Russian mobsters. And he's also done fiction. Most importantly to me, he's done some X-Files tie-in stuff, which is really exciting. But, you know, this book is just, I can't imagine, like, you know, the smarts that you need to, like, keep track of cards and count cards. And, you know, these six MIT students realized they were all really good at it and decided to go take Vegas for all they could before they got caught. And it went on for quite a while. They made a lot of money. And counting cards, I don't know if it's illegal. I don't think it's illegal still. It's just that, like, if you get caught doing it, you get banned from, you know, the casino. It's just, it's really fun. And lots of his stuff is really fun. So I highly recommend checking him out if you like fun nonfiction. This one is Bringing Down the House, the inside story of six MIT students who took Vegas for millions by Ben Mezrich. Now, this week for Dealer's Choice, I want to talk about a book that's coming out in July, which is very much in my wheelhouse. This is an epic nerd purr. I was very excited to get my hands on it. It is Slaying the Dragon, A Secret History of Dungeons & Dragons by Ben Riggs. This is a look at TSR, the company that was started in Michigan by Gary Gygax, who, along with Dave Arneson, started Dungeons & Dragons, which most everyone knows what Dungeons & Dragons is. It's a role-playing game, you know, tabletop, there's dice, you know, you get a book, there's a dungeon master, and you use a lot of your imagination. And the game was a huge hit when it came out, like huge. And from the very start, despite the fact that they had a huge audience that was interested in it, the management of TSR made wrong decision after wrong decision. Like, basically, in reading this, they made all the wrong decisions that they could possibly have made. And it's very much a book about the company and a blow-by-blow of what happened to the company. We see all of these people that work there, but we don't get too far into their lives or what happens. You know, there was such high turnover in the company, including Dave Arneson and Gary Gygax. They got pushed out at different points. And it's just like they had no idea what they were doing, the people that were, you know, in positions of power and management, and the people who were making it all work, the artists and the writers, you know, were not getting paid very well, so there was very high turnover there. And it was really fascinating. I had no idea that so many famous artists and writers had gotten their start there, like R.A. Salvatore, Margaret Weiss, Brahm, that just tons of talent. And then, of course, there was like the Satanic Panic in the early 1980s, where people decided that, you know, Dungeons and Dragons must be, you know, about the devil because there's magic and there's monsters and all this stuff. And even Tom Hanks, one of his first roles, was in a movie called Mazes and Monsters, which was a ripoff of Dungeons and Dragons, in which he plays a guy, a young kid who plays Dungeons and Dragons like game, and eventually goes mad because it's all very, very bad. And it's so interesting, the stuff that happened. You know, and then there's like an excess of wealth and like mansions in California, and things never really go well for them. And then when Magic the Gathering comes out in 1995, I think it was, or 96, I think like maybe even earlier than that, it basically meant the end of TSR and Dungeons and Dragons until they were eventually bought out by the company that ran Magic the Gathering. It's, like I said, super nerdy. It, you know, if you're into role-playing games or any kind of games, computer games, it's very interesting to see, like, where this all went and how, you know, like I'm always confused and astounded by how the people that create things can be cut from them, you know, and, like, pushed out of them. And, you know, if you like nerdy computer games and reading about history like that, it's definitely very interesting. The three most contentious, I would say, people in the book, two of them have passed away and one refused to give an interview. So there's not a lot from their side. And Riggs is most definitely, you know, a self-described fanboy of Dungeons and Dragons. So there's a lot of exclamation points for a nonfiction book. But I thought it was really fun. So that is Slaying the Dragon, A Secret History of Dungeons and Dragons by Ben Riggs. That comes out in July. And I hope that you enjoy it as much as I did. And now I'm going to go play World of Warcraft as soon as I finish up here. So yes, that's it for me this week, book lovers. Thank you to our sponsor. Thank you to our awesome audio editor, Jen Zink. You can find a list of all the books I mentioned today in the show notes by visiting bookriot.com/allthebooks. If you're a fan of all the books and you want to give us a treat, you can leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you download your podcasts. It helps other book lovers to find us. If you want to talk about books or see pictures of my books or my cats, you can catch me on Twitter at Miss Liberty and on Instagram at Friends and Comes Alive. I'll be back on Tuesday to tell you about the week's great new releases. And for more recs or general bookishness, check out bookriot.com. And don't forget to check out our full stable of podcasts at bookriot.com/listen, or just search Book Riot on your podcast player of choice. Have a great weekend, kittens, and happy reading.